Please turn your Bibles to Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. The theme of this third chapter is the bride seeks Christ and finds Him and expresses His glory. The bride, of course, refers to the people of God, the church of Christ. They are seeking. We are given here, Solomon wrote it in such poetic language that he is speaking of the bride seeking Christ and finds Him and expresses His glory. This chapter has two sections. First section, from verses 1 to 5, it speaks of the church seeking Christ, finds Him, and is fearful of offending Him. That's where we see the verse in verse 5. That ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till He please. Then the second portion is from verses 6 to 11. We read here of Christ coming out of the world to be married to His bride, the church. For this afternoon's meditation, the subject is the reward for being vigilant. The reward for seeking Christ. And our text read in verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. We want to look at, first of all, the first section from verses 1 to 5. Before we go on to look at our anchor text, verse 4. I'm going to speak to those who are in Christ. And I like to seize this opportunity to encourage all of us who are in Christ, who have the grace of God in your heart, that you and I, as God's believer, as people redeemed by the blood of Christ, that we ought to grow or increase more and more in our communion with the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer. We are to value more and more of this blessed relation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, as God's people, we are to strive to value Christ far above all earthly experiences. We must confess, brethren, is it not true, if we are honest to ourselves, we are far from it. Oftentimes, we are so far from the Lord. We value the things of the world more than we value our Christian experiences, more than we value the things of God, more than we value God Himself. We are to strive, therefore, to value, to put aside, to wean our hearts from the things of this world, and to set our hearts and our mind more and more on our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We must also confess that indeed it is not easy, and oftentimes we are weak, and oftentimes we succumb or we fall into temptation to seek for other things. Those of us who are God's children, those of us who are in Christ, we ought to be ready to do all in our God-given power to enjoy again or to increase in that enjoyment of our fellowship or our communion with our Lord Jesus. And when, especially when we begin to lose a sense of it, we must not let it slide. We must immediately recover. We must immediately pick ourselves up and seek the Lord's help to renew that fellowship and communion with Christ. Believers should organize our time, our life, so as to seek after the felt enjoyment of Christ's love. So, I like to direct our thoughts, firstly, as I said, to the first section of this chapter, verses 1 to 5. And you will notice, firstly, there are three steps, or the steps in the bride's progress, or the steps in the church progress, or the steps in the Christian progress. First, the step in the bride's progress. And there are three steps, as I said. The first is this, as it is implied in the words, I love him. She here, the bride, refers to her beloved, and of course the beloved is referring to Christ, under the title, Him Whom My Soul Loveth. Him Whom My Soul Loveth. Can you and I, brethren, as we claim, profess, that we are Christian, that we are God's people, can you and I give the Lord Jesus Christ that title? I love him, him whom my soul loves. If he were to come to us now, if he were to come to us and enter into our church and say to each one of us, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than this? What would be your answer? What would be my answer? I hope every one of us would answer this, like Peter. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Can we really say that? Can we really tell the Lord this? You and I can at this moment think of many reasons. Are there not many reasons why we should love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why we should love the Christ of Calvary? But I cannot think of one reason why I should not love the Lord Jesus. That I should not love Him who gave Himself for me. If I turn to what I read about the Lord Jesus in this blessed book, the Bible, it should all the more makes me love Him and love Him more and more. If I recall what I have experienced of His grace in my heart, in my life, it all the more should makes me love Him. When I think of what He is and what He did and what He is doing and what He will yet do for me, it all makes me love Him more. Should it not be? I am inclined to say to my heart, never beat again if you do not beat true to Christ. It were better for me that it were better for me that I had never been born, then I should not love one who is in himself so inconceivably lovely, who is indeed perfection's self. Yet there is one reason that rises above all other reasons why you and I should love the Lord Jesus Christ. It is this. He loved me and gave himself for me on that cruel cross. Brethren, have you and I forgotten that? Have we just forgotten all that? What Christ has done for us, undeserving sinners, on that cruel cross, shed his blood, humiliated by sinful men, God became man and died on the cross of Calvary. If he has loved us with an everlasting love, if he loved us even when we were his enemies, and loved us so as to take upon himself our nature, if this dear Son of God loved us so that He became man for our sakes, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled Himself, as we know in Scripture, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:8, then we must love Him in return. Is it not the right and proper thing to do? To love him, return. To love this person who loves you so much. Who gave his life for you. We should be worse than the beasts that perish if conscious of such love. Such deep love as this. And yet we did not feel that it melted us. And that being melted, our soul did not bow out in love to him alone.
Should that be our response? If it is, think of it. How ungrateful, how wicked we are. Can you and I stand at the crossroad and not kiss the feet of Him who was wounded for your transgressions? Have we forgotten all this? Have we taken all this very lightly? That we have such a Savior, such a God, who condescended Himself to sinful men and women, boys and girls, to save us, to give His life for us? Can you see Him dead and taken down from the cross and not wish to wrap Him in your fine linen and bring Him your sweet spices to embalm His precious body? Can you see Him risen from the grave and not call Him Master and Lord as Mary did, to hold Him by the feet? Can you, by faith, see Him in our assembly, in our church, saying peace unto you, and not feel that you delight in Him in your inmost soul? Can it be? It cannot be. Surely it cannot be. If it is, if we examine ourselves and we found ourselves truly to be very cold and dead in our feelings towards Christ, we must indeed confess that we have not loved Him as we ought. We have not known Him. We have failed to understand what it is to be a Christian, what He has done for us. We must and will say, and we feel that we may appeal to the searcher of all hearts while we say, I love Him, I do love Him, because He first loved me. Then came the second step. We see in the verse, I sought Him. And that is in the beginning of the chapter. By night on my bed, I sought Him, whom my soul loveth. Why? Because of the love. Because love cannot bear to be at the distance. Love will desire, will drive the person to be near to the one whom he or she loves. Love longs for communion. Love will do anything to get at the object of his affection. I used to say this before. Right? Why do I, when I was in Canada, willing during the winter season, wake up at 3 a.m. when my friend called me, shall we go fishing? Why? 3 a.m. freezing, you know. Winter. 3 a.m. drive more than 1 hour to that stream, that lake, for salmon fishing. What drives me there? What drives me and my friend there? Just because of the fish? So that we can eat it? It's the love. The love of that hobby. Same for those of us. Try to recall your courtship days for those of us who are married. Huh? You promise your wife, of course at that time it's your girlfriend. No worries. Where do you stay? No problem. Drive there. Drive 10 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles, and send her back home. No problem. Walk also can. Swim also can. Right? What motivates? Never mind. Or cannot see each other, talk on the phone. Now in Cantonese they call a po chok. Talk. Until the neck also wants to talk. Ah, yes. Why do you want to strain that? Ah, never mind the pain. Rub some oil, it's okay. Love. You see, the motivation there. Love. Where there is true love to Jesus Christ, we cannot bear to be away from Him. Just as when two persons is in love, they will long to be together in person. You will not want to less have our courtship while Zoom. No, that is not enough. Zoom is not enough.
You want more. You want to be in physical present with the person whom you love. Is it not true?
We long to be with him in heart, to feel that he is also with us in spirit, according to his promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world."
I sought him.
Dear brethren, dear friends, can you put your finger on that sentence and say, that is true, I sought him? Have you been seeking the Lord Jesus this Sabbath day? Are you coming to seek him earnestly, in sincerity of heart, or perfunctorily? Or in your private devotion and meditation of God's word and in prayer, do you make it a point of pleading to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, let me meet with thee. Let me find thee in your word and in my communion with you"? If not, brethren, let us start afresh. As God, and it is always my prayer, as you know, as the Lord gave us another week, just remember, this is another new beginning. Forget about the last week, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. Let us press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Each week, as we are able to begin a new week on a Sunday, the first day of the new week, tell yourself, the Lord in his mercy has given you and I a new start, a new beginning. A new beginning to walk with him, a new beginning to learn and to taste of his goodness, a new beginning, a new week, a new opportunity to experience his love, his mercy, his wisdom. And so let us start afresh, seeking with your whole heart. Let your soul breathe out its burning desires after him. Pray, confess, acknowledge, "Yes, Lord, I have lost my first love for thee." Remember the very time when you first came to know the Lord Jesus. Powerful of zeal and enthusiasm, isn't it? You long to come to church, Bible study, prayer meeting, fellowship with the saints. You want to be in the company of God's people. Where is it now? Why is it that I have less of that? He is not far from any one of us. You sought him once when you were burdened with your sin, and then you found him. He cast that sin out of your heart. He forgave you of your sin. He cast that sin into the depths of the sea, and you come. Seek him again. Seek him again. Don't turn away from him anymore. Seek after him. Tell him, "Lord, indeed, I have grown cold. The things of the world have taken all my time and my attention. I want to come back." And so tell him, cast all your doubts and your fears upon him, and soon your distresses of mind shall be buried in the same deep grave. Next, it comes with a little minor or a mournful tone. For the next clause says this, "I sought him," verse 2, "but I found him not." So the bride, the Christian, the church, is so sad about it that she cries out her distress. Notice in the verse twice. "I sought him, but I found him not," in verse 1 and verse 2. Do you know such experience? You and I who are believers, have you not experienced those times where you diligently seek after the Lord, and it seems that the Lord is so far away and he's not nowhere to be found? I hope you are not realizing this at this time, but many of us have known what it is. If we have been indulging in any sin, not walking close to the Lord, of course, we cannot find him. We have had to rise. We have had to stir up ourselves to lay hold on him. Or, I may borrow the words from King David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so it is for us too. We cannot deny the fact that there are times that we just go low, downcast, because of the many issues and problems and difficulties and challenges in our lives. Yes, but don't forget, there is someone there ready to help us, to deliver us. And so, we have to rise up, we have to encourage ourselves, or else we will not find Him. Have you not even turned to the Bible and to private prayer, and still you have to say, I sought Him, but I found Him not? And indeed, this is a very sad experience for the Christian. But think of it this way. Yes, it is a sad experience, but if it makes us sad, such experience makes us sad, it will be good for you, it will be good for me. Why? Because that means the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and working in our hearts and convicting us and helping us to see where we have fallen short, and is prompting us to turn back to the Lord, to seek for help. Our Lord Jesus would not have us think little of His presence, little of His company. And sometimes it is only as we miss it, then we begin to appreciate the sweetness of it. Is it not true? Oftentimes, in our relationship with family members or loved ones or friends, when we, every day we see each other and interact with one another, we take each other for granted. It is only when the person is taken away from us in death, then we have this yearning. Is it not true? As the saying goes, absence makes the heart fonder. Is it not true? Oftentimes it is such. When we are together, when we have this thing, we don't value it. We just, when it is damaged or destroyed and we cannot use it, you find the usefulness of it. And same in our relationship with one another. And so it is. And therefore, that's why sometimes the Lord has to put us through such things or such experience to be away, so to speak, so that we have this yearning, so that we can appreciate deeper the sweetness of that communion with Him. If we always had high days and holidays, we may not be so thankful when our fair days come around. When the soul truly hungers for Christ, has a true hunger and thirst for Christ, and the bread of heaven is not there, and when you feel the pangs of the thirst of the Spirit or of your heart, and you cannot find a well of water, then will your Lord Jesus teach you and teach me His true value. And when you really know Him and know Him better than you formerly knew Him, then you shall no longer have to sigh, I sought Him, but I found Him not. But your tone will change, your spirit will rise to a joyous note. It was. But a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. Verse 4. Now I have brought you back to our text. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. So you see here, we have considered the three steps. First, I love Him. Next, I sought Him. Then, I found Him not. Now, we go on to a second series of another three steps taken by the bride in the bride's progression. Secondly, inside the text here, we have the second series of steps taken by the bride. Again, as I said, three steps. One, I found Him. Second, I held Him. Third, I brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. So this is the first of the second series of steps. I found Him. Brethren, I trust that you can say again from your heart, I love him, I sought him, and now you can say, I found him. Notice what the spouse say or what the bride say. I found him. She was not satisfied with finding anything else. She was not finding anything else. She was searching for the Lord. She had said, I love him, I sought him, and she must now add, I found him. Nothing but Christ consciously enjoyed can satisfy the craving of a loving heart which once set out to seek the King in his beauty. Here the bride did not sit down and do nothing. She leaves the watchman. Verse 3. The watchman that go about doesn't found me, and to him I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And then she ran on to seek the Lord. So she leaves the watchman and she still goes along the street until she finds him whom her soul loves. And so the spiritual lesson for us is this, brethren. You who love Christ, you and I who are in the Lord, whether as a minister or as a believer or as a Sunday school teacher or whatever role that we have in the church, we are to go beyond the means of grace. Meaning to say, we are to go beyond the ordinances. We are to go beyond our preachers. We are to go even beyond the Bible itself into actual possession of the living Christ. To have, as what theologians like to put it, experiential faith. The reality of God, the reality of Christ in my heart, in my life. We must have that. We must grow beyond, go beyond. And which means we say that we must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must labor after or work hard after a conscious enjoyment of the Lord Jesus himself. Till you can say with the bride, I found him whom my soul loveth. Yes, we cannot deny the fact it is good. It is good to find sound biblical doctrine, for it is very scarce nowadays in many churches. It is good to learn the practical precepts of the gospel. It is good to be in the company or in the fellowship of the saints. But if you put any of this in place of your communion with your personal Savior and Lord himself, you are doing harm to yourself. Never be content till you can say, I found him. Diligently seek after the Lord, for he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Brethren, did you ever find Jesus? Have you yet found him? If you have not, keep on seeking. Keep on praying. Keep on pleading. Keep on praying like the woman who prayed the importunate prayer. Till at last you can say, I have found him whom my soul loveth. Jesus indeed is mine. Now, we turn to the second step. The bride say what? I held him. And this is a deeper experience than the former one. I held him means more than I found him. When you get to the top of the spiritual mountain, you can call it your spiritual high, when you are all, you know, full of the spirit and zeal for the Lord. You see, when you are there, it needs grace to keep you there. It is not difficult to get into communion with Christ, but it is easy. It is so easy to maintain that communion, to have that spiritual high or spiritual mountain experience with the Lord Jesus. And so that if you found him, do as the bride said that she did. I held him. You see, because you need grace to maintain. You see, to maintain that mountain top experience. Because we are weak. Oftentimes, the moment we reach there, and the next moment we just plunge right down. How are we to hold Christ? I held him. And so we ask, how are we to hold Christ? Well, I suggest firstly, hold him by your heart's resolve. Just like Daniel did, Daniel resolved in his heart to honor the Lord, not to take the meat from the hidden. Daniel purposed in his heart, or Daniel resolved in his heart, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to obey God at all costs, even if it cost him his life, even if it cost his friends, his three friends, their life, to be burned in the furnace. If now we have him near us, let us lovingly look at Jesus at his face and plead with him to draw near. As we study in the book of James, remember that verse? Draw nigh, or draw near to him, and God will draw near to you. Plead with him to draw near to us. Hold him by your love's resolve. Be determined. Purpose in your heart, and it shall be as chains of gold to fasten him to you. Say to him like what Jacob did, I will not let thee go. Genesis 32:26. Further, brethren, hold him. How? How do I hold the Lord Jesus? Can I really hold him? Hold him by making him your all in all. In every area of your life, every aspect of your life, seek him. Call upon him. Proverbs, remember, chapter 3. Commit all thy ways unto the Lord, even the smallest things in your life. Don't just go to Jesus with all your big problems. Go to him with even the routine. Ask him for help. Ask him for his wisdom. You everything up to him. Be obedient to him. Be willing to suffer for him. Grieve not his Holy Spirit. Quench not his Holy Spirit. Resist not his Holy Spirit. Extol him. Crown him. Magnify him. Honor him. Sing in your heart. Sing in your mind his praises. Recall what a wonderful Savior you have in the Lord Jesus. What he has done for you. And that's the way to hold him. Renounce all else for him. For he sees. And once he sees that you truly love him, and you make the attempt, and even that attempt may be weak, God honors that. God honors that because he sees in the heart. Though we fail, but when that attempt, even making that attempt, and when we fail, God still honors that attempt. When you have given up your situation, all your prospect in life to follow the Lord Jesus at all costs, it is then that he delighted in you, and in proportion as you break away from your idols, put away from your sin, set your heart on the Lord Jesus, and keep your heart chaste and pure for him alone, you shall abide in Christ's love. Christ and you cannot fully agree unless you walk as he would have you walk. In careful holiness and earnest service for the King. We are told in Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? One more word before we leave this point. The only way to hold Christ is to hold him by his own power. And I'm quite sure you have no difficulty in understanding this. You know where I'm going. The only way to hold Christ is to hold him by his own power. Can we, like this bride, ever say to Jesus? Notice that the bride said to Jesus, I held him. Can sinful, puny man hold Christ? He is the King of Kings, the omnipotent Jehovah. Can I hold him? Can you hold him? He is the mighty God, and yet poor, puny worm like myself says, I will not let him go. Can it really be so? Yes, it can. For those who are in Christ, those who are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we can. The Holy Spirit says that it is, for he himself guided the pen of this writer Solomon to write this song when he wrote, I held him and would not let him go. Again, think of this poor little creature, Jacob, who, when the angel did touch him, felt his sinews being stringed directly, and yet he said what? I will not let thee go. And I, being a poor, trembling creature, may hold the Almighty God, the Omnipotent himself, and say to him, I will not let him go. Possible? Yes. Only by the Holy Spirit. By Christ himself. So how is this wonder to be accomplished in us? I tell you this. If omnipotence helps you to hold omnipotence, why then the deed is done? If Christ and not you alone holds Christ, then Christ is held indeed. For shall Christ vanquish his own self? Impossible. If Christ be in me by the Holy Spirit, I can hold him. For it is not I, but Christ in me that holds Christ and will not let him go. This is the power which enables us with the apostle to say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. And then the next step is described in this word. I brought him. I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And so we ask, where is our mother's house? What is this mother's house referring to? What is Solomon talking about? I do not believe that he is talking about or asking us or teaching us to reverence a church building. No. But I think he is referring to reverence for the true church of the living God. The church is the house of God and the mother of our souls. Is it not true? Our spiritual birth, in a spiritual sense, comes from the church, our mother. The church is the house of God and the mother of our soul. It was under the ministry of the word preached to me by the preacher or pastor or minister that I became a Christian, born to God. And it was in the assembly of the saints or assembly of the believers that we heard the message which first quickened us or made us alive by the Spirit of God and brought us into newness of life. And we may well be content to call the Church of Christ our mother. The Lord Jesus declares in Matthew 12, 49 and 50, he says this, behold, when someone told him that your mother and brethren are outside waiting for you, and Jesus looked around him and said this, behold, my mother, my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Surely, where Jesus chooses to call the assembly of the faithful by the sacred name of mother, therefore you and I who are in Christ, we may rightly do the same. And we love the Church of Christ, which is our mother. And I do hope, and I pray earnestly, that all of us, as members of this church, we will love the whole Church of God. Well then, whenever we find our beloved, wherever we find our Lord Jesus, we have to hold him and not let him go. And then bring him down to the house of our mother and to the chamber of her that conceived us. However, then another question comes up.
how can I bring Christ into the church? Does it make sense? Well, spiritually, you can bring Christ into the church. You can bring Christ into this assembly, this church. Partly, you can bring him by your spirit. There is a wonderful power about a man's spirit, a man's heart, even though he does not speak a word. And perhaps you may have observed that silent worshippers can contribute very greatly to the communion of the saints. How? By their godly disposition. By their godly or their saintly disposition. So in the same manner, you will in spirit bring the beloved to your mother's house and to the chamber of her that conceived you, by your godly or saintly disposition. Another way to bring Christ into our church is to talk to him. Make him, or rather talk about him. Make him the subject of your fellowship with the same. Not make him as a subject of your gossip. Make him the subject of your fellowship. As we come together, as we interact, as we fellowship, talk about Christ. That's how you bring, you mention about Christ, you talk to me about Christ, how the Lord has blessed you, how the Lord has seen you through during the week, how the Lord has watched over you, how the Lord has supplied all your needs, how the Lord has delivered you. What you have learned from the Bible in your private devotion, and as you share with me, you are bringing Christ to the church, to the people of God. And so talk about him. You know, you read in the Old Testament, Samson, this character, when he found a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, what did he do? He took some of it, tasted it, and he began to eat it. And then what happened? He carried a portion of it to his father and mother. And so it is. If you ever find sweetness and preciousness in the Lord Jesus, your Savior, be sure that you carry a handful of that honey to your friends, to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and give a portion also to those who are spiritually in need. Let each one of us, in turn, as you are able, talk to your brothers in Christ or your sisters in Christ and say, I have found him whom my soul loveth. And thus, you hold Christ fast, firmly, and bring him into your mother's house by your spirit and by your words. But if you think or feel that you cannot speak for Christ, I, like Moses, told God that I'm a man of slow speech, get my brother do it. But if you really feel that you cannot speak for Christ, then bring Christ to the church by your prayers. By your prayers. Do pray that the King himself will draw near to you. That the King himself will draw near to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Ask him not only to bless you, but to bless the people of God. And so in this way, each one of us, as you come to the house of prayer, to the place of fellowship, you are really joining spiritual force together, and we shall get nearer and nearer to our Master as this house fills with loving worshippers who have found him, held him, and brought him here. Now, maybe in closing, I just want to say this to you. Let us pray that the Lord will stir us up. We must indeed, in humility, confess that we have not loved Jesus as we ought. We have not diligently seek after him. And so let us pray for one another. Pray also for the minister, for the pastor, for the leaders of the church. Pray for one another in this congregation that the Lord will gather us into his house, that he will unite us and draw us truly closer to him. The Lord be with you. For his dear name, for his dear son's name's sake, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask for thy help
For we confess that our heart is so far away from Thee. Our heart is occupied with so many things of this life. O Heavenly Father, we pray that by Your Spirit's enabling, that we will put our Lord Jesus as the preeminence in our life, in our hearts, that we will set Him above everything else. So help us, O Lord, we pray, as You have very graciously given us a new week and a new beginning to walk with Thee. O Father, we pray that You will renew this love. You will increase this love in our hearts for Thee. Increase this love in our hearts for Your laws and Your commandments, to keep them out of our love for You, in gratitude to Thee for what You have done for us on Calvary's cross. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.